time of the world famous Phil Henry Show, Frank Ray.
Yes, thank you. You turn that down, huh? Dickhead.
He's a dickhead.
I'm sorry. What's his name? Dickman. Turn it down. Thank you. Frank Gray with you here. And just a quick comment, because I got on Twitter day before yesterday. It might have been yesterday.
It was yesterday, Frank.
It was yesterday. Okay, Margaret. You know, when you say it was yesterday, Frank, I love how it puts me down.
I'm not putting you down. I'm trying to keep you on the rails here.
Yeah, Frank, you know, we're talking about something you tweeted. What did I just say? I said it's about Twitter.
Twitter.
It's about Twitter. And what I tweeted and what I tweeted out and everything, I said, as you know, I said that if Donald Trump ran for president, I would take off my pants and walk a mile in a man's shoes with no pants on.
You said you'd walk down Hollywood Boulevard.
I did. I did walk down. I was with Word Orston, and we went down Hollywood Boulevard. It was in its car. It dropped me off. I walked alongside as it followed me, no pants on, walked down to the Salvation Army, horns honking, all kinds of people yelling at me. I got back into its car. It peeled out. I said, Orston, thank you very much. And it said, you're welcome. And off we went. But I kept my word. I kept my word.
Yeah, well, you might have kept your word, but you don't know the name of the guy that picked you up.
What is it trying to say?
You got Orton Word is the man you were with.
What did I say?
You said, what did he say?
He said something like Orston Worst.
Oh, my God.
Nah, don't, you know, don't sweat the small chicken shit, man.
Yeah, exactly. Right what it said. Don't sweat the small chicken stuff. I'm here to make a statement.
All right, Frank, let me lead into this.
I don't need you.
Yes, you do. Frank Gray, my husband, saw where apparently the Trump Organization...
The Trump Organization.
Now listen, we don't want to get political here. These are things that you said.
I own it. I own what I said. I saw the Trump Organization got... they said it's guilty of different crimes. But the people of all over Twitter are saying that Donald Trump will be indicted. I'm here to say to you right now...
Now watch it, Frank.
You've already had your pants off once.
Wait, hold on for a minute. Let's be adults here for a minute.
Yeah, but you want to be adult?
Hey, Dickman, this is what you did. You went, you want to be adult? That's exactly what it did. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, Frank, you're right. But what we're trying to say is, watch what you say, because you were wrong the first time.
I made a statement. I did not believe it would run for president when it came out and ran. And here's the thing about Donald Trump you have to understand. If anyone believes... if it says something and then it thinks people, if people think one way, then it's going to do the opposite. It always wants to be
unpredictable.
Unpredictable, exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make. So Donald Trump ran for president. I was wrong. Pants came off. Hollywood Boulevard, walked down about what'd you say, Margaret, about a block and a half?
I don't know, Frank. I was hearing about it in real time, but I wasn't there.
Hearing about it in real time.
Yeah, we were on the phone with Orton.
On the phone with Orton.
Yeah, he was talking about it, man, so we could to know you're doing it.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Frank, you're the guy that calls everyone it.
Whatever. All right, so where was I?
You're talking about if Donald Trump is indicted.
If Donald Trump is indicted, I swear to God, that's something that is out of its control. That's why I believe it. It can't make the decision and say, okay, I'll be indicted. That's why I don't think it'll be indicted. And if it's indicted, and I mean Donald Trump personally indicted, guess what?
Your pants come off on Hollywood Boulevard.
Not only do my pants come off on Hollywood Boulevard, they're going to come off right along the Walk of Fame. Yeah. What about that?
Oh, my God. You're talking about the Walk of Fame. Right there on Hollywood Boulevard.
That's what he just...
That's what I just said, dickhead.
Dickman.
It's Dickman.
I'm sorry. That's what I just said, Dickman. On the Walk of Fame, right there.
So what, between Cahuenga and...
No, Cahuenga. Are you high on a mixture of chemicals? No. Highland. Everything west of Highland, the Walk of Fame, down around the Kodak Theater and the Promenade.
Get a load of you. That's some balls out.
That's balls out.
You better believe it. But I won't ever have to do it because it's not going to be indicted.
Now, how do you know that?
Because it just won't be. They don't have the guts to indict a president of the United States of America. And I don't believe given that reality, that that will happen. I'm Frank Gray, and I'm solely responsible for my content.
So you heard it here, and I don't even know why we're wasting the time.
Well, Phil said to go ahead and give Frank the airtime, and I want to thank Phil Henry for that, and that he gave me the airtime to make the stick. Because if you think for 1 minute I'm going to take that line, the fact that Trump runs for president when I said that it wouldn't, and I got to take the pants down, I'll tell you right now, this is something that is not, is out of the control power. It's out of the control. It's out of the control of Donald Trump. It doesn't know whether it'll be indicted. So I'm saying it will not be indicted. And if it is, and you can bring your grandmother, your whole family, you can set up a grandstand right there on Hollywood Boulevard, west of Highland, all the way on over to La Brea. No, wait a minute. Wait. Hold the phone here. No, that's what I said. You're saying you'll walk with no pants on from Highland to La Brea if Trump's indicted. You heard me right.
Frank, you're going to want to rethink that.
What's the rethink?
Because, Frank, in the off chance it happens, you're going to get arrested. You know that.
Arrested for what?
Oh, my God, I'm going to bust you for having no pants on.
Oh, is that right? Hey, Frank, you can make fun of the kid, but he's right. All right, I understand, but I'm sorry.
You make fun of me, you're going to be the guy that's going to be in jail with no pants on. The guy's going to be, come sun up, there'll be a lot of guys calling you Mary, you know?
Oh, my God, what did it...
Hold on, Frank, I'm going to kick your... You said it. You got no pants on, a lot of guys call you Mary by 6 a.m.
All right, bud, get out of here.
That's what I just said.
Get out. Frank, calm down.
To think that mealy mouth, little... brain damage twerp. Oh, what I'd do to it if I could get my hands on it.
Right, Frank, you made your statement. You're going to take your pants off. That's the most childish, asinine stuff I've ever heard in my life.
What it is saying, if the two of you would shut up long enough and let me say what it is
I want to say.
What it is I want to say, it's saying I'm so convinced of how I'm... Is that a nose hair?
Yes, it is, Frank.
Would you get...
There.
Ow, that hurt.
I pull a nose hair from...
I'm saying that Donald Hiawatha... What is Donald Trump's... Donald Joseph, I think. Donald Joseph Trump will never be indicted by the Justice Department of the United States of America, because they haven't got the guts to indict a president of the United States over a bunch of chicken stuff.
You're talking about secrets. These are classified documents.
I don't care what... Look at... I'm no fan of Trump, and I don't. And I personally think probably it ought to be indicted, but they're not. They won't have the guts to indict it, because it's a former president, and they haven't. And it's far more powerful than they are. It was president of the United States at one time. It walked the halls of power, and now it sits at Mar-a-Lago with its feet up. It, for all I know, it's fly open, going, hey, look at me, and you can't touch me.
You really think you're that cynical?
It's not about cynicism, it's about reality.
Well, you just said if the man deserves to be indicted,
do I wish that there was somebody with balls big enough to do it? Yes, but there isn't. That's the point. What do you want?
Can I come back in?
Don't ever talk about anybody calling me Mary again. You understand?
Yes, sir.
But that was over the line.
Okay, but God, man.
Hey. They'll put me in the Beverly Hills jail wearing no pants at all in a cell full of pervs. Come sun up, I'll have kicked all their asses. How about that?
Sure, Frank.
Okay, yeah. All right. So, Leah, I married it, and it has no faith in me.
Get just moving along here. Frank Gray has been our special guest, making a very special announcement that he also mentioned on Twitter that if Trump is indicted, you'll take your pants off again, this time walking down Hollywood Boulevard on the Walk of Fame. Now, that's a decidedly much more traveled, much more popular part of Hollywood Boulevard. You tried to avoid the crowds the last time, right, Margaret?
You did, Frank.
What is it, right, Margaret? You're talking to me. You're not talking to it.
No, but that's true.
Yes, that's exactly right. I said I walk a section of Hollywood. I was stunned. I was flabbergasted. What is the word?
Flabbergasted.
I was flabbergasted that Trump would run. So I picked a portion of Hollywood Boulevard, and I said, I don't give a goddamn.
All right, Frank Gray, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. You watch. If they indict it, well, they won't. Frank Gray predicting that if Donald Trump is indicted, he'll follow through again on a threat to take his pants off and walk down Hollywood Boulevard, this time the Hollywood Walk of Fame west of Highland.
All right, yeah. Yeah.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back after these words. Hey, Frank Gray for the world-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass. I've known Phil, I can't even begin to tell you for how long. It's always been a great, wonderful guy, and it's very entertaining, and I hope you listen to it. Its show is contained in the Phil Henry Show website. So if you go to philhenryshow.com, you can listen to its show. You can listen not only to its show today, you can listen to all of its shows going back almost 30 years, and there's a lot of fun and frivolity and good times to be had by all, because I'll tell you what, one thing I say about Phil, it works its ass off.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show, a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com, will be the greatest value online that you'll find other than porn.
Yeah, that's...
That goes without saying. And welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Frank. We'll be keeping tabs on you, and...
I hope you do.
We will. Excuse me.
What is that about?
I don't know. I went to say we will, and it wouldn't come out of my mouth. I wanted to make a special announcement on the show today that we lost a great man on Monday, a man that I worked for 9 years. I worked full and part-time for Norm Pattiz for 9 years when he was in charge of Westwood One. Norm founded Westwood One. And was its president, CEO. It was his company for many years, and at some point, ownership of the company passed from him to others. But I was fortunate enough to work for Norm, and he passed on Monday. And I got to tell you, I was like absolutely stunned by that. I said this on Facebook, and I mentioned it on Twitter. I said, I thought he was. You know, I don't really think people are immortal, but I just never thought about Norm dying. And that's how big a personality he was in my life. You know, I used to say to people, I don't have heroes. I don't have any mentors. I didn't have anybody I looked up to when I grew up. And I didn't. I didn't have anybody in my life that I could honestly tell you set an example for me, or anybody that I looked up to, or anybody that I admired, or anybody that it wasn't my father, there wasn't a grandfather, there wasn't a brother. I'm not putting those guys down. They didn't measure up to anybody that I went, oh, wow, what would they do? But Norm Pattiz, and I never even looked up to Norm Pattiz as a mentor or someone who was an influence on me until today, and I'm broadcasting today, I'm recording this today. It is Tuesday, when I read the news of his passing. And I have to be, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, I actually shed tears. This all came as a great surprise to me. I knew Norm Pattiz. I worked for him. He was a powerful personality. He's a guy that just took a charge of life and sort of turned things to his favor. And as I worked for him, I observed him and I watched him. And maybe it was because I worked for so many years for this guy, but I today when I read the news, I realized what a huge influence the guy was for me. Now, you guys probably have never heard of him, but let me just tell you about Norm Pattiz. In the late 70s, he was working for Channel 13 in Los Angeles as an account executive. He was selling airtime for Channel 13, and he was fired by that television station. And with some savings that he had, he produced a show called The History of Rock and Roll. He thought that a radio show could be syndicated, that a show produced for radio didn't just have to air on one station, and he used as an example, of course, the success of Casey Kasem's show, by that point, American Top 40, but Norm came up with an even better idea. Norm sold the show to advertisers and got it on the air on a lot of radio stations, but the thing that he guaranteed the advertisers was this: whether or not that show aired, your commercials would air.
So in other words, the guarantee that Norm was giving was to advertisers that had placed their ads, placed their spots in this show, and that come hell or high water, their ads, their spots would air regardless if the station played the show or not. So it almost guaranteed that the show was going to air, and if it didn't, they had to place the commercials. Now, that may sound like some strange voodoo to you, but that was huge. That was a huge proof of performance, if you will, that Norm came up with in the very early days of syndication, late 1970s. And with the money that he made from advertisers and from the syndication of A History of Rock and Roll, and maybe this is a show a lot of you have heard. I've heard it. It was on the air, and it was on the air for many years in a lot of different stations. He started a company called Westwood One and decided he'd go into the radio show syndication business. And I went to work for him as first an engineer, a session engineer, and I engineered Dr. Demento. I engineered shows with J.J. Johnson. I was just talking to J.J. on Facebook today. I engineered shows for Karen Martin when she produced Sid McCoy's special edition show. And I was not a very good engineer, but I was okay. I was okay enough that I didn't get fired. And eventually I got promoted to a producer voice talent position at this company. And I produced a few short form shows, and on it went. And my desk was not 3 feet away from this man, Norm Pattiz. And I watched this guy just barrel ass out of his office every day, demanding that people do better, demanding that people sold his shows better, demanding that, you know, this or that or some other advertiser was signed. I mean, I saw this cat go toe-to-toe with people. I was there the night, and I will be perfectly honest with you, I was there the night that there was a death threat in the building there from an outside source, someone that we were doing business with. I say we as a company, Norm was doing business with, and I watched him deal with that. And sort of watched as he just pushed ahead after this firing by this TV station, pushed ahead to create this company that he sold in 1985. It went public in 85, I think, for like $20 million. And I realized when I read about him dying on Monday, I realized that that guy set an example for me to push out into the world and do what I needed to do and do what I wanted to do and be the talent that I wanted to be, because I was just sitting back on my ass doing nothing. Yeah, I was working for Westwood One. I was a producer. I was a voice talent. But Phil Hendry had a hell of a lot more that he wanted to do, and he was holding himself back. And I watched as Norm just went ahead and kicked the hell out of life and created this company and then sold this company for an enormous amount of money. And this is after, as I said, he had been fired from this job and then started this syndicated show and started this company. So I'm sitting in his office one day. I don't know what the hell it was I was talking to him about. But he was opening his mail, and I'm talking to him, and he's sort of half listening, and he looks at a piece of mail that he got, and he looks up at me and he says, "Phil, I only hope that someday you have the pleasure of receiving an invitation to a Christmas party given by a company that fired you in disgrace 10 years prior." And I know what he was talking about. He was talking about the company that canned him 10 years prior to us talking. And he said, "I can only hope you have the pleasure." What he was basically saying was, life is good, because look what I've done since that happened. And so Norm, after going public with the company, continued as the CEO. The company got even bigger. And by 91, actually, I moved to Atlanta to continue my talk radio career, and moved on. And it was my experience at Westwood One as a producer and as a voice talent and as an engineer, and standing there and watching Norm Pattiz basically not taking no for an answer all those years, that drove me to do better, man. And so when I read about this man dying on Monday, I realized that guy was a mentor. He was sort of an influence on me. He was a hero to me. That was the first time in my life I ever had one. Now, I can't tell you the guy was my friend. He was my boss. You know, he was my employer. We didn't hang out. I just watched this guy work every day. And I watched how he worked. I watched all the people that
that he influenced and that he moved about the chessboard and the deals that he made and the money that he made and the influence that he had in the radio business. And then eventually he started a company called Podcast One. You may hear at the end of this show, we say this show is produced by Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One. Our show's carried by a company founded by Norm a few years ago. And he said, you know, podcasting, digital, this is a realm that radio should embrace, not compete with. Now, I don't know personally what's going on with radio these days. Not much. From what I hear, it's a medium that missed the opportunity to partner with the digital world and become even bigger. It's a medium that was not, you know, it was not, frankly, led very well by the people that were in charge of it. So today, it's kind of a shell. But Norm moved from the radio world into the digital world, into the podcasting world. And all these years later, man, ever since I was working for him as a producer and a voice talent, and today our show is on Podcast One, the guy still has an impact, and he's had a major impact on my life. And I was as surprised as I could be when I read about his death on Monday, feeling as emotional as I did about it, feeling as sad as I did about it, and realizing that I did have, for a period in my life, a mentor, an example, an influence, a guy whose example I followed. He had guts. He was like, you know, he was a mensch. This guy was a stand-up guy who took failure and turned it to his advantage, and turned it into success, which is really kind of what happened to me in my life. Because up until my late 30s, I wasn't doing jack shit with my life until I realized that I had to push ahead creatively or what? Be doing beautiful music someplace? Be doing light hits somewhere? Doing middays on a light hit station? I didn't want to do that. So I you know, and this is entirely impromptu what I'm saying to you right now, but I feel strongly that Norm needed for somebody to say he had this kind of influence, he had this kind of influence on me, that he did affect people, and that he was a great man, and a great broadcaster, and a great thinker, a great innovator. And I'll be a son of a bitch if he wasn't a great mentor and a hero almost to me, you know. Norm was also a guy who was adept at martial arts. I say adept, I don't really know, but I know that he took martial arts. And I had taken Taekwondo briefly, and so I'll never forget him snapping a roundhouse kick that stopped shy of my mouth by about, oh, I don't know, a couple of inches. And I realized at that time, you know, he was very apologetic. He said, Jesus, Phil, you okay? I hope I didn't. I said, no, you didn't hit. But I realized at that time how competitive this guy was, how hard charging this guy was, you know. I can't tell you that I wanted to grow up to be Norm Pattis, but I got to tell you, I wanted every single bit of the power and energy that he generated in his life to be a part of mine. I wanted to do what he did in my way, you know. So anyway, Norm Pattis passed on Monday. You can read about it. It's all over the internet. It was all over the radio news. He was 79 years old. I met him when he was 39. And on the verge of greatness, man, when I went to work for Norm in 81, and by 1985, the company had gone public for $20 million. He pulls in to the lot with this Maserati and bought an airplane. I mean, the cat was the real deal, and so I wanted you to know about that. We'll be right back in a world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Nice dramatic pause, Phil.
You're welcome. Have you thought about a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry show? You haven't? Well, that's surprising. If you listen to the show each and every day, all we do is hammer you with reminders to get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry show. Why haven't you gotten it yet? What more can we do? What more can I say? Do you want the tears to come down out of my eyes?
Robert De Niro, King of Comedy.
Get a backstage pass to the Phil Henry Show, a subscription for less than $10 a month, less than $7 a month for a year. PhilHenryShow.com, the greatest value online, other than porn. What garbage are you playing, Dickman?
It's great, isn't it?
Funny, Jake.
Maybe what you feel. That was fantastic. Talk about a mentor of yours.
Thank you. Norm Pattis.
The only problem that I have, and I don't want to say this on the air, but don't you think, out of respect for Mr. Pattis, that we probably don't want to...
Well, we wanted to hear, Jay, about your efforts during this very rainy season.
Yeah, the two-tone shoes. Right, and I understand that the two-tone shoes have come under criticism from a lot of people.
Well, we don't really understand.
I got it, but the two-tone shoes, these are two-tone saddle shoes. I don't know if we brought this up on the show prior, but...
Well, we've talked a little bit about it.
You've talked about it.
Yes, we have talked about the two-tone, what we call the two-tone. And if it's a rainy day, if it's a windy day, I will say to the sub-commanders, two-tone it. Let's go two-tone, or I'll hold my hands to my face.
Now, for people to see, Jay is holding his hand flat to his forehead, another hand flat to his mouth.
Now, what does that mean? That means two-tone. We're going to go two, or I'll go two and two, or I'll go two, you know, or I'll just hold up two fingers. I'll say tone.
Yeah, two fingers in tone.
That's what I said.
And all right, well, Bud's trying to figure it out here, Jay.
All right, I don't think anything I'm saying here is...
Well, it's all right, so you're wearing two-tone saddle shoes. Now, my question is, how does this help you?
How does it help us warn people about wind and windy conditions, rainy conditions?
It has been very... this has been a very good season in Los Angeles. We've had rain.
Yes, we've had a lot of rain, and it's been a blessing. I think it's been a blessing for all of us to have the amount of rain that we've had. It's also been a blessing.
Why don't you just slow down? Why can't you say L?
What? It's always been...
It's tough for you to say L. Why don't you practice L, 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 L?
You know, Phil...
Can you not do that?
Can I do what?
Can you say L, L, L?
L, 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 L.
Hey, Jay, what is it with you, man? You don't have a speech impediment. That's just something...
That is something you've got a mental block.
I don't have no mental block. I can say... I just said mental block, okay?
All right, so why can't you say L?
I can say the letter...
Just never mind. Go ahead. So tell us about the two-tone shoes.
The two-tone... When we go two-tone, we don't go home. And that's what we say at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Two-tone, no home. That means we are out and about, and we are warning people about... Now, as we said, we've had wonderful rainy conditions. Well, I say wonderful because we've had a drought over the last few years.
Yeah, it's a bit of a severe drought.
It's been a very severe drought. So we are happy to see the rain fall. But in these instances, and we haven't had a lot of flooding, Phil. As you know, having grown up in California, there's been a lot of flooding sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of times we've had... we've had...
Oh, yeah, that's good enough. So what I'm saying is... Well, Phil's trying to... I got it. So I'm saying is we haven't had a lot of flooding, and so it's not... See, I just said... now that I think about it...
Yeah, you can say flooding until you think about saying flooding. Go ahead, say flooding.
I'll say it. We've had a lot of...
See, don't think about it and you'll be fine.
We've had a lot of flooding. Fuck.
Watch the language, please.
Sorry.
We've had the flooding. Okay, good. I said it.
Yes, very good.
We've had a lot of flooding.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Knock it off, will you?
Yeah, see, I'm going to get up and leave.
No, don't, no. Stay, Jay, you want to know.
We've had flooding, and we've been able to help people because we've gone tone.
Jay's holding up two fingers and saying tone.
Right. We've gone two-tone, no home. Two-tone, no bone, which is kind of a crude thing. If we grow in two-tone, no time to have sex. See?
What did you just say?
I said if you go two-tone, no bone.
I'm sorry, Miss Grace. All right, we get it, okay?
That's very juvenile.
But what I'm saying is two-tone, it's a two-tone kind of a day. I'll say a two-tone Tuesday. We call a guy that holds onto our shoes in the locker room two-tone Terry.
So his name's Terry?
No, his name's Bill. Yes.
Jesus H.
Well,
you know, okay. So,
all right, so what kind of alerts are you having these days?
We are having right now, we have a, what we call a, it's a tone down two tone, meaning it's not high tone two tone. Tone down two tone means a kind of mid level, and a high tone two tone means a dangerous situation. We had a high tone two tone last week. Everybody was in two tone saddle shoes. And we walked the streets of Hollywood. We walked around the streets of Long Beach. And we just, you would see, I was very proud. There was about 100 guys walking down the street in two-tone saddle shoes and Bermuda shorts. You know? Well, what's the story?
Are you, you're proud of that, huh?
No, it's fine, Jay. Well, yes, I'm proud of that.
Look at General, because it's not your fashion sense.
Yeah, General.
Oh, yeah, General. You were laughing about it, too. 100 guys. 100 guys walking down the street in two-tone saddle shoes and Bermuda shorts. You're very proud of that.
That's exactly correct, General. Very proud of that. And on that given night, we helped a lady out of a car that had got stopped in a floodwaters. And we also helped a homeowner who was able to get an awning inside that got blown down from the high winds. So we're out and about doing a job.
Jay, we thank you very much. So if people are having problems in floodwaters or they're having problems with high winds.
Well, there's nothing that you can't really call us, but just be on the lookout for the two-tone team. And a two-tone team will be out there Monday and Tuesday and on Friday.
So you're not on Wednesday or Thursday?
No, not on Wednesday or Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and part of the day is Sunday.
Is the two-tone team is out there with their two-tone shoes?
Anyway, thanks a lot, Mr. Eric.
Don't go away, Jay.
Well, these guys.
Oh, come on, Jay. Thank you, Jay, very much for your report on your two-tone team and the rain and the wind.
Yes, and the rain and the wind.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go home, and I'm going to take off my two-tone shoes and throw them in a garbage dump.
That's... Now, come on.
Now, come on, Jay. I'm going to throw them in a gar... I'm going to throw... If you see two-tone shoes in a dumpster, they're mine. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, I thought you were. Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police helping out during these high winds and rains we've had here in Southern California.
The two-tone team.
Yeah, don't forget, two-tone, no home, because they're no home when they're on the, with the two-tone.
It means we're out on the street helping people out.
We understand.
Try to mess it up.
All right, another one in the books here, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, rest in peace, Norm Pattis. Thanks, Jay Sandus. Thanks, Frank Gray. Thank you, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.